You know, I am all about those little pick-me-ups throughout the day. Whether it's conquering work tasks or doing chores around the house, I need a little treat to reward me. It is a must. And you know what gets me smiling every time? Japanese snacks. Not only are they bursting with flavor, but the cute packaging and quirky vibes add an extra layer of fun. That is why teaming up with Boxu, a Japanese snack subscription box, has been an absolute delight. And these aren't your run-of-the-mill grocery store snacks, okay? Every month, Boxu brings you over 20 unique treats that you can normally find only in Japan. Plus, they throw in a nifty guide packed with info about each snack and Japanese culture. So you get to snack while you learn? Are you kidding? This was literally made for me. Oh, and by the way, each box ships straight from Japan, straight to your door. Okay, so I'm going to try one of the snacks for you. I got my little guide right here. I think this week I'm going to go for the Soka Senbei Uma Zarame. This Senbei rice cracker boasts a uniquely irresistibly tart and sweet flavor combination of ume Japanese plum and zarame, a coarse granulated sugar. Cool. Now, this says it contains wheat and soy, so that's good to know for you gluten folks. There are plenty of gluten-free snacks in here. Here's the cracker. Ooh, this looks so good. Let me give it a try. Oh my God. You hear that crunch? It's like tart. It's a little salty. It's a little sweet. Mmm. This is delicious. Mmm. And I never would have gotten to try this if Boxu hadn't sent it straight to my house. Mm. And you know, my favorite thing about Boxu is that they support small family-run businesses in Japan. Boxu has sourced your treats by working with over 245 small makers in Japan, helping out their businesses and helping to preserve their traditions. So if you love trying new and interesting things, or if you know somebody who does, you have got to try out Boxu and get these snacks shipped straight from Japan to your door. And right now, you can use the code FACTUALLY for $15 off your first order on Boxu.com. That's code FACTUALLY for $15 off your first order on Boxu.com. That's BOKKSU.com.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey everyone, Adam here. You know, in addition to Factually, I host a bonus podcast only available on Stitcher Premium. And it is called, in a hilarious bit of title writing, if I do say so myself, Questions and Adam. Get it? Okay, you'll love it. You're about to hear one of my very favorite episodes with my friend, Rhea Butcher. You can find the rest of these episodes exclusively on Stitcher Premium. For a free month of listening, go to stitcher.com/premium, select a monthly plan, and enter the code FACT. So, without further ado, here is my conversation with Rhea Butcher.
Folks, today's sponsor is one I cannot recommend highly enough, Delete Me. As a Factually listener, you know how much I value online privacy. Well, Delete Me has been an indispensable tool for me for many years. I've been using them long before they even started advertising on this show. This day and age, it is shockingly simple for data brokers to peddle your personal information without your consent. These data brokers may be selling your name, phone number, and home address, and you might never even know it's happening. Trying to locate and remove all this data yourself can feel like an impossible task, but that is where Delete Me shines. Their team of experts tirelessly scour the web to track down and wipe out your personal data. In just 7 days, you will receive a detailed report of their findings. And believe it or not, a whopping 41% of Americans are vulnerable to online harassment, from doxing to scams and even identity theft. In some cases, having your info online can turn cyber stalking into good old-fashioned in-person stalking. Protect yourself from these threats with Delete Me. So if you're like me and you value your personal privacy, you want to make sure that your identifying personal details are not floating around the internet where anybody can buy them, Well, you can get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/Adam and use promo code Adam at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Adam, code Adam. I wholeheartedly recommend this service. Check out Delete Me. Today's show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Our lives are super demanding these days. I know that I constantly catch myself wishing for extra hours in the day. But here's the thing. The problem isn't as simple as lack of time. It's that we often have trouble prioritizing what's actually important to us, whether that's seeing friends, talking to family, or even kicking back with a good book. This is one of the ways that therapy can be so valuable. Working with a professional can help you figure out your priorities and make time for the stuff that really matters. And therapy isn't just for big trauma. We can all use a little help, whether it's learning to deal with stress, setting boundaries, or just getting stuff off your chest. So if you're thinking about giving therapy a shot, you might check out BetterHelp. They say it's all online, super flexible, and fits right into your busy life. You just answer a few questions, and they say that they will hook you up with a licensed therapist. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time, no extra charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/factually today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/factually. Hey, everybody, I know we're in the ad break, but we're doing something a little bit different today. Today, I'm going to tell you about an amazing group of people who did not pay us anything to be a part of the show. We just think they do amazing work, and we wanted you to know about them. You might remember back in 2018, those heart-wrenching stories of families torn apart by Border Patrol, refugee children being pulled away from their parents who were in turn deported to their home countries. It was devastating then, and it's just as devastating now, with hundreds of families still not reunited after all these years. You know, we discuss so many problems on Factually, but I firmly believe that there is always something that can be done about those problems. And recently, I came across an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they have successfully brought together over 100 families torn apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. But reuniting those families is just the beginning. Al Otro Lado continues to support each family with legal aid, housing, and counseling to help heal and get back on their feet. I mean, can you imagine the agony of having your child ripped from your arms, unsure of when you'll see them again? We cannot allow such family separations to continue. So if you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. Thank you so much.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Sure.
I don't know the truth.
Rhea Butcher, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Adam Conover, thank you so much for having me. It's so good to be here.
Well, you're here on my new Stitcher Premium show, and I always like to ask the guests how they like the title. The title of the show is Questions and Adam. What do you think?
I think my
Q&A.
I like it. I like it. Questions and Adam. Okay, sure.
I like the title.
Up and Adam, it's not, you know?
It's not so bad it's good. It's so good it's bad. That's how I feel about that title.
Yeah, I get you. I understand. Yeah, it's right in that quadrant.
You do a wonderful podcast. Okay, so you've been on Adam Ruins Everything many times. My sibling.
Yes.
Rhea Butcher, a superstar, public defender.
Yeah.
Are Rhea Butcher and Adam related continues to be one of the top Google autocomplete results for my name. If you type in Adam Conover, you'll see people asking Rhea Butcher.
Wow, that's really funny. Do people still ask you about it? Because people have stopped asking me about it, I feel like. in person.
People do still ask. Yeah, they do.
That's funny.
And I grant that casting. I made it confusing because I put my real mom and dad on the show.
Yeah, but who then, was then my mom and dad fake on the show. So really confusing for people.
And you were in the same episode as them.
Yes. So they were like, your parents and my parents, not my parents, also my parents, you know?
And my real sister got mad about it because she was like, my real mom and dad are on the show. Why am I not on the show?
Everybody but me is in the show.
Yeah. And I feel I don't have a good response. I don't have a good answer for her.
Yeah. I mean, did she want to have like a full season arc as a public defender? Did your sister want to be word perfect?
That was my favorite arc that we ever did on the show. And you did play my favorite recurring character that we had.
I really enjoyed it. And I mean, I feel like the lifespan of this for me, at least, is a minimum of 5 years. And that's being very conservative, like honestly 10, just because the show is so great and so inherently rewatchable. It doesn't, to me, it's timeless in its, information. You know what I mean? Like, there's not going to be, at least we're not going to see it, which is fine.
Well, none of the problems that we talked about on the show have improved since we made the show.
No, not to the level that it would be in conflict with the information that you're getting. But even if they did, here's the thing though, Adam, even if they do, which they will, and again, might not be in our lifetime, which is fine. That's why we do it. You could still see the information, like the information is still valuable, you know? So anyway, my whole point is people still bring that up. Like I work on a show, Good Trouble. And one of the executive producers who's also like the DP, I don't know the exact title, but anyway, he was like, man, I got a lot of points with my kids because they found out I'm working with you and you are on Adam Ruins Everything. It's just like this fun gift that keeps on giving, you know?
That's wonderful. I love that. There are so many people who a lot of times when we have to, because sometimes I'm trying to get, you know, an expert onto, here's a little behind the scenes on Factually, try to get an expert onto Factually and they don't know who I am, but they go ask their kids. And if they're, they do the show because every parent wants to look cool to their kids.
Oh, like
kids.
Wow.
And so that has gotten me so many experts. So I'm always like, you want to take a picture? You want me to record a voicemail or whatever? Because I want to make these adults. I want to make these like, you know, 60-year-old academics seem cool to their teenage children.
What a gift.
A mission of mine. Okay, well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about questions. With questions and Adam. So a question I always get and we have gotten and I'm going to put to you, this is my number one most common question that I get, is people ask me, what product do I use in my hair?
Yeah.
And people want to know this question from you too, because you also have very good hair. So tell me, what product, Rhea Butcher, do you use in your hair?
People ask me this question all the time, Adam. So it's great to relate to you. Just as a side note, we both get our hair cut by the same person.
Yeah.
So that is like a baseline sort of, this is a scientific procedure here.
I think we talked about this when I was on your podcast, your wonderful podcast, Three Swings, about baseball.
Oh, thank you.
But let's talk about my own platform.
Yeah.
When I moved to Los Angeles, you were one of the first people I met because we did a stand-up show at like my second week in L.A. And I said, you have great hair. I need a new barber. And you were like, go see my barber Pony at his wonderful place, Folklore Salon. And I went and Pony has cut my hair for like 6 years now.
Yeah, it's an important starting spot is what I would say. And you don't have to spend a lot of money, but you do have to develop a relationship. I have learned that in my, what is it, 10th, 9th year of having my hair cut by Pony. It really does pay to have somebody who understands your hair. I know that seems very silly, but it's not. Because like I have a ton of cowlicks in my hair. Like he just knows how my hair operates, so he can cut according to that. So that being said, I used to use a ton of pomade. I used to use a combo of like Imperial barber products, pomade, and then light hairspray. Like, I used to use all that stuff. I had terrible skin problems. So now what I use, and I've found it to be even more effective, is a very simple hair powder. That's it.
Whoa.
It's just like a styling powder. I use the brand Big Sexy Hair, and I'm sure there's better versions, that, like healthier, more sustainable versions. Yeah, way better names for sure. And that is what I use on a pretty regular basis when I need to style my hair, because it doesn't, it's not messy. You don't need a lot, and I have very thick hair, so if I put too much stuff in my hair, then I end up with just messed up hair. And then I need to like wash it and start all over again, which I can do very easily. I can put too much shit in there. So I don't have that problem with the powder. Also, the benefit, if I don't wash my hair before I go to bed, I don't wake up with a greasy mess. You know, I just wake up with a frizzed out mess, which is preferable, honestly. Mm. I enjoy starting with that. So that's what I use. What do you use, Adam?
I use, well, first of all, I just buy whatever Pony tells me to buy. I go in there and Pony's like, do you like this? And I use it. And I'm fully aware that this is a scam on the part of Pony. Or
sure,
not really on his part. But like what happens is, like, you know, the it's very clear how this works. Yeah, the product companies come in and they say, you know, give us the shelf space and give this to your consumer. I don't know exactly what the terms of the deal are, but it's clear. Like, the first year he was always recommending me Imperial gel pomade.
Yep.
And then he suddenly started recommending me a different thing instead, which was much better. And I was like, okay, he was just recommending me whatever they told him to. But at the same time, it's like, what am I going to do? Like, this is the expert. So I use now the most thing he recommended me, recently he recommended me, I really do like. It's Hans de Foucault is the brand. And it's like, what is it called? It's like a matte kind of paste.
Is it a clay?
It has some grit to it.
Yeah, that's what I use for on-camera stuff, like on Good Trouble. I don't know what the brand is, but I think you can basically find whichever version of it that you like, smells-wise and looks-wise and stuff. But now I use a styling clay as opposed to like a pomade gel.
This has a clay texture. What I use is one called Quicksand, which is almost invisible once it goes in your hair. They have other ones that are a little bit heavier. And here's the description. It says, craving that beachy textured hairstyle with high hold. So that's sort of what it does. One part styling wax, one part dry shampoo, it says. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. People don't know, like they say, Adam, what product do you use in your hair? As though that is the answer to the question, why does my hair look the way it does?
Yeah.
And that is not the answer.
Right. Which is why I led with, you got to have a person cutting your hair that knows what your hair is doing.
Yes. And also, when I am on television, that is like basically special effects hair. Like you've got one to two people working on your hair for, like, I'm sure when you're on camera, at least half an hour.
At least, you're
sitting there and they're just doing your hair. And then in between every shot, they come up to you and they fix your hair.
Well, I will say not anymore. Have you shot anything in the pandemic?
Oh, no, not yet.
They don't do all those things. Like, I just want to add, because this is like, you know, behind the scenes question and answer. People are interested in facts and stuff. Usually, yes, that's the case. So if people are watching Adam Ruins Everything, people were coming in and, you know, re-Adaming both of our hairs between every move we made. But now you get it done at the beginning of the day. That's pretty much it. You know, like if you're shooting like, you know, if you're shooting the same stuff over but if I'm doing one scene and it's quick and I'm up in like a couple setups or something, I'm not getting retouches on makeup or hair. Like they don't even come to set. No last looks. There are literally no last looks anymore, Adam. Like you're expected to do your own touches and stuff.
Wow.
Which is pretty
wild.
Yeah, it's wild. So I'm really curious to see what TV that is produced in this era looks like compared to everything around it.
Yeah.
Because HD
is a lot more flyaways.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, I'm like always checking. Like, there's often I'm in a scene with women with longer hair, and I'm always like looking at them like, do you know how nuts it would be to like put in a great performance and then realize at the end of it you have a hair in your mouth? I'm always like, Shannon, look at me. Look at me. Okay, you're good. You know, like, I would be so embarrassed.
It drives me crazy when I watch television and someone's lit from behind and they got a big flyaway. I'm like, I know. That's just because from being on set, if I wasn't working, I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't have that awareness of that.
Of course, yeah.
But I also don't mind it. I don't know. I love, one of my favorite things that happened in the last 10 years was the Starbucks cup in the Game of Thrones scene.
Oh, yeah. And the water bottle, too.
Yeah. I love it. I love it so much. Because I love that even on the biggest show, first of all, yeah. I love the fact that, of course, they're all standing around with Starbucks like everybody is on every, like they're in a fantasy land. No, they're standing around.
5 minutes ago, everybody was just standing around with coffee. Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, what you do, this is what people don't realize about TV sets. When you watch somebody, you watch the most beautiful actor standing in the most dramatic scene, the most high budget thing. Wherever they are standing, there is a water bottle at their feet.
Oh,
they
yeah.
just had a drink of water and put it on the floor. Yeah. Maybe they handed it to an assistant, but I just put it on the floor. There's like trash around. There's like a cable just to their left.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
like crap everywhere.
There's somebody on their phone with their back to them 5 feet away. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like that's what it's always, there's always somebody right there. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like every actor has always just like taken a little sip of Starbucks, like right before the shot. And it leaked its way into the fictional world. And hundreds of people looked at that shot before.
So many people. That is what baffles me, Adam. And
I love it.
Not only did hundreds of people look at that shot, and like, it's also just like, yeah. Humans are very fallible and we're very limited. Even if you put 100 sets of eyeballs onto the same thing, you will miss it because it's so ubiquitous. Even in that world, you know, like to the point where it just fades into the background. And like, also not only did hundreds, like literally at least 200 eyeballs look at that thing. Mm-hmm. How many eyeballs on the set? How many eyeballs on the set? How many people on the set just didn't see it, you know? And like on something like that, you just think it's so much money. But, you know, I go to work, that stuff happens at work where somebody goes, oop, and like, you know, runs in, or like you just forget you have your phone in your pocket. And it's like, you can't.
Yeah.
Like even something as silly as that, it's like, you can't have your phone in your, it's like, yeah, it's wild. It's, that was a wild thing. And then deleted it.
You want to have it.
Everybody found it and then they just erased it and put it right back up.
No, they should have left it. I think they should have left it because it's such a wonderful pull back to reality of making the show. Like, you know, when you're working in TV, you're aware that the fantasy world is fiction because there's a base reality here where you're like, I need, like, every single person on that set is like, I am tired. I need Starbucks. I am sweaty. Yeah. I feel like shit. Like, again, every single person you ever see on TV, Their costume in the back is held together with safety pins. You know, like Daenerys, she looks amazing from the front. From the back, she's got safety pins holding her costume together. You know, like
tape.
The hair was just pinned up really quickly. And she's sweating. She has to pee. And she's, you know, hasn't eaten. Or she just ate and she ate so much for lunch that now she's feeling full and gross, you know?
Yeah.
But
every
single person on set is just going, I just have to hold it together for the 30 seconds of this shot.
Right.
And then we can move on. So they take their sip of coffee and they put it down and they get safety pinned and they like, and then they do the shot. And that's the reality of, that is the real reality of when you look at the people on screen. And I love that that real base reality leaked all the way through
100%.
To people's final experience of the fantasy world. That's such a beautiful thing. This is not what I intended to talk about.
But this is what's fun. Because this is making me think of something else, Adam, which is similar, not the same, but similar to that. How, like, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, how the newer versions, they have, like, erased out the reflection of the cobra snake in, if you remember, when Indiana falls into this, is thrown back into the snake pit after they've gotten the ark out of the, I forget what it's called. Anyway. He and Marion have got it. And so he's thrown back down into the snake pit, falls, turns around, and there's a cobra right in his face. Stunning bit of cinematography, stunning bit of storytelling, like setting you up for that moment. And like, there was plexiglass in between Harrison Ford and the cobra snake. Like, such a simple special effect. Nowadays, we would just CGI the snake. It would look so real, blah, blah, blah. that's not what it was. 1980. So
yeah,
that's what they did. So there's a magical realism in there. And then to me, the fact that you can see the reflection, which I didn't see the first time I saw it because I was a kid and I was like into it. And then my mom waited and told me and was like, and then if you watch, when we watch it again, look at that. And then that becomes its own story within the thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so similar to how you were saying, like, I wish they would have kept it in. It's like, I miss that they took that out because it was like a little story for me and a memory for me and a little, it's like its own extra thing in the movie. And like, to me, perfection, it's almost like you said with the hair stuff, like you can't just get the hair stuff and then your hair does what it wants. It's like, it is a collaboration. And so to have a collaboration, have these little imperfections in it is what then creates a collaboration with the audience, with time, with experience, like all of those things. And like, that is sort of what I miss when we start getting into movies that are just like purely CGI'd and you can make it do whatever you want. There's no goofs or mess ups to read on IMDb. It's just like, what was the box office? What was the budget? Cool. Great. See you later. Like, it's just not fun anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Or as fun.
The interaction with the reality is like part of the story and the physicality of it. And, you know, it's I've always been hoping that we're going to return to realer special effects. And I think we are a little bit. Like, one of my favorite things, a lot of people have a lot of opinions about the Star Wars sequels. One of the things I liked about them was they had a lot of physical effects and a lot of physical props. Like the little droid, the little basketball droid is a physical prop, not a CGI prop. And it looks so much better.
You mean BB-8? Are you referring to BB-8 as a basketball?
Well, that's why I call it BB-8.
I love it.
It looks like a basketball.
Basketball.
It's a physical prop that they've physically moved around. It's like, it's practically out of, you know, in the original Star Wars, it's all Jim Henson, you know?
It's all
that sort of thing. And guess what? It really does look realer, you know, because it is real and it has physical imperfections to it. And there's, you know, CGI is terrible, but
it's gotten so much better.
Yeah.
CGI has. But
it has gotten much better. But there is still no replacement for the messiness of reality. And this is not like a film versus digital thing, because I'm not even on that. It's like, when things are physical in the real world, there's so much more dimension and information to them than something that you can create. And I love things that are digitally creative. I love video games and stuff like that. But I am so, like, I thought at the beginning of the pandemic, I would play more video. I'd be happy to play so many video games. And now I don't want to play any video games because all of my existence is digitally mediated right now. And it's like, it feels like there's a paucity of information and stuff and things to do in it. What I want is the real world. I want to go out and, you know, go like sit on a bus and like, you know, it's kind of dirty and grimy in a very specific way that bus is and no other bus in the entire world is, you know, that, like I want that experience. And so maybe, I don't know, my hope is after, you know, people are able to go out again, that we'll have a simultaneous society-wide refocusing on the benefits of reality and in-person experience over digital substitutes. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, nothing ever happens 100% or 0%. You know what I mean? So like the entire population is not going to have the same experience of it. But I cannot imagine that going through this pandemic specifically is not going to have, I mean, it's obviously going to have effects that we wouldn't have otherwise experienced, right? If it hadn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
But we were already beginning to get to a point where the like immersion in sort of second screen experience, like all that, so like everything is mediated by digital, like you said. And so I do feel like there will be a large portion of the population, or the portion of the experience of the population, I guess I should say, where the need for direct experience, direct physical experience of each other and our world will be cranked up, you know, because I just think people are, you know, it's funny to me, like I consider it and I ponder it when I'm like washing the dishes and stuff. And I think about how, you know, like I feel as though through the like Obama years, we were sort of like lamenting the like artisanal hipster and all this stuff and like not unwarranted. However, you know, like there's a shop in my neighborhood that is like hipster and all this stuff. But what I realized is, oh, it's a general store. And because of all this progress, because of all this stuff, we don't have general stores anymore that I can just walk into and there's bulk products and I don't have to buy a plastic thing. You know, like my willingness to just buy plastic all the time is ridiculous, you know, like, and, yeah, and yeah. I know this doesn't relate to the, but it's like, it's all related to me, you know, like where we just got so mechanicalized with everything and everything is just like numbers on a screen. And it's like, I think people want to experience the world. I think we ultimately know deeply in our soul, that is what we've been given. We've been given all of this, but I just can't imagine that, you know, VR is where we're all going to want to live now. Like that's what everybody thought. And it's like, well, I think it's just part of it. I think VR is just like a possibility, you know?
I want VR. I mean, I have a VR headset. I want to use VR even less than I did before.
Right. Yeah.
Because like, at least in, you know, when I'm stuck in my house. And the reason again is not to poo-poo digital experience. And I don't even like the division of saying, oh, there's a difference between reality and the internet. They're both reality.
No, they're both obviously. Reality. Yeah, exactly.
But like, okay, so I think a fundamental thing that humanity does is we create experiences for each other that are mediated and specific. You know, so it's like you can go eat a piece of fruit that you picked in the forest, or you can eat like a candy bar that a human made for you that appeals to all the other, all the same, senses, but in this very specific way that's designed to elicit a specific reaction, right? And that, for instance, is what a video game is. It's a whole world that someone has created for you to have fun in. And that's extremely fun to like go explore, you know, someone else's mind, someone else's idea of what a fun experience would be. But it's fundamentally limited because, you know, that's what it is. It's this sort of narrowing of, we're going to give you a lot of some narrow stuff that we think, because we are also humans, you'll enjoy. The world, when you walk out into it, isn't that. It's just randomness. It's crazy shit happening. It's like, it's not for you. You know, you go out in the woods and it's not like made to design. It's not designed to elicit some specific reaction from you. It's lumpy. It's not always efficient. It's like, you know, but it's also serendipitous. Yeah. Things happen that you don't expect. And, you know, that is the experience of, that's why, you know, real bring back to real life special effects. Like, you can't get every single little thing right. That's what's good about it, because it's happening in the real world. Ooh, another good example of this is like, I learned like in pinball competitions, right? I like pinball.
Do you know how much I love pinball?
You love pinball. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Changed my life. Pinball changed my life. So, yes. Oh, just wanted to put that in there.
I didn't know pinball changed your life. How did it change your life?
Oh, yeah. Huge. I started playing it with a really good friend. Not only did like our relationship grow and evolve around it, but I just really loved... To me, pinball is... There's so much possibility in it. And you can just walk up to a machine and you can... put a quarter in. Obviously this is a metaphor, but because it's more than that now, but, and you can just hit the flippers and just make the ball go around and it's so much fun. Or you can go like, oh, what do I do here? And
what does the
slowly,
game want me to do? Yeah.
But surely you can start to, you can do one thing over and over and over and over and over and over again and win the game. Or you can do one thing and see what that leads to and see, oh, it's like this world that can unfold in front of you the more you do it. And so I just really enjoyed that experience of, it was like it's like a time travel thing for me. Cause when I was a kid, no concept of pinball, nobody showed me how it worked other than you hit these buttons and then the flippers go. So I had no idea there was like a point, you know, or like a strategy to
it. Yeah.
And so it was just like a fun, loud thing. And it was old, you know, cause arcade games were new then. Or like stand-up games. And so now it's like, oh, wait, this has like a whole world to it. And I didn't know. And now I'm open to it. And, you know, there's like a beauty in the art and the design. And, of course, you know, there's community around it and like all kinds of stuff. And so anyway, it's just a lot of fun. And like, to me, it's very similar to baseball. I have a similar relationship to it, which is that I love it. And then I love sharing that love with other people. Yeah. And if and when they get on board, it's just very rewarding. Not because I've converted somebody, but because we get to share something together. Like it feels, they're very kindred spirits in my world.
That is how I feel. Well, I love pinball and I love
all games.
This is
why we're siblings, Adam.
This is why we're siblings. I'm a game guy. And I grew up loving video games, and then I was introduced to pinball in college. And what I love about pinball specifically is that it's physical as opposed to video games. It is one of the very few games, you know, in terms of a designed game, not like baseball, but a designed experience, like a video game or a board game or something like that, where you're really manipulating the movement of physical objects in this constrained space. And the physicality means that weird shit happens. Like sometimes when you're playing pinball.
I mean, it sounds like you just described baseball. Just to say.
but baseball is a little different because it is a competition between multiple people that has rules. As opposed to someone will come out with a new pinball machine that says, okay, what if we have the player do this? What if we have the player do that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's fundamentally an experience about fun. And novelty.
Have you checked out Banana Ball, Adam? Because that is actually sort of creating the little tangent world experience that you're talking about. And I don't know. I don't have all the rules memorized yet. But there's a minor league team in Savannah, Georgia, named the Bananas, and their owner, president, I forget what he is, GM, invented like a new version of baseball called Banana Ball, where it's fundamentally restructuring the game in a way to make it more fun and exciting, and it looks like way more fun and exciting. And because each inning is a game, essentially. Mm-hmm. You're playing to win the inning, and then at the end the team with the most innings wins, as opposed to the team with the most runs through nine innings wins.
This is great.
The rule that I enjoy the most that I've seen on Instagram that is the most fun is when you get walked, you run the bases to see how far you can get before the entire field throws the ball around the horn. I mean, that's the wrong phrase, but they have to throw the ball between all of them. And then wherever you are, that's where you get to end up. So lots of triples out of walks, you know?
That's great.
I mean, it's just making the game like faster, like pinball. It's just adding those kinds of things where like crazy shit can happen. So I'm just, you know.
Well, so it does apply. It does apply because, I'm sorry. This comparison I want to make does apply because I'm coming to my point about pinball.
Yes. Sorry, Adam.
It's fine. When you play pinball, weird shit can happen. Like as you're playing, the ball takes a weird carom. Like 90% of the time, it's the same, but the ball takes a weird carom and it hits the glass and bounces, or it gets stuck under a trap door or something, right? And one of the things I love is that in competitive pinball, all that stuff is real. Like if you like in a video game, if there's a bug, you'd say, okay, you know what, that doesn't count. Let's start over. In pinball, if the ball gets stuck. Pinball is a physical game. Mm-hmm. That's part of your run of that game. There is something specific and weird about a real ball bouncing around that cannot be duplicated digitally because unpredictable things can happen. Mm-hmm. The same is true of baseball that like the, you know, baseball, all the stadiums are different, you know, all the ball can take a weird carom that, strange shit.
Off of a rock. There was a infield ground ball, like that. It literally slithered out to the outfield. I think it was in Minnesota, or I can't remember where.
Shared three times that weird things happened since the beginning of the baseball season, which was a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah. Started all kinds of weird shit, you know? So, like, everything, the humidity in the air changes the game. You know what I mean? So, like, you can lose a baseball game to the weather. And then to the other team, but you can hit five home runs that don't carry out that on any other day would and lose the game. Yeah. So similar. I see your differences, but I feel there's more similarities than differences.
No, you're right. You're right.
Pinball is totally mechanical and so is baseball. Because if you think about baseball and you think about the way people talk about pitching and hitting and throwing, it's all about mechanics.
Yes. Well, this is a good place to go to our plug. Tell us about your baseball podcast. So, people,
oh, it is a great place. What a beautiful segue, Adam. My podcast is called Three Swings. It's a podcast about baseball and other things. I do talk about other stuff on there. So if you're like, I hate baseball, I don't want to listen to baseball for an hour, that's not the only thing I talk about. So I talk about baseball. I talk about different kinds of baseball, like banana ball, like women's NCAA softball. Like, I talk about all kinds of stuff. And it's just from a different, you know, lens than the typical data-driven sabermetrics, ESPN, MLB Network, even, you know, Ringer stuff, where it's just not the same. I talk about the social aspects of the game.
Yes.
All kinds of stuff. And also, I'm not sure when this is coming out, but it doesn't matter. The most recent episode, to me, I had a guest on my podcast named Iman, who is a displaced resident of Echo Park Lake, and he shared his story, his experience of that community, and then also, you know, the LAPD military occupation by Mitch O'Farrell. So he shared his experience of that on my podcast, which I'm very grateful for. So definitely check at least that episode out, because I want Iman's story to get out there, you know.
Rhea Butcher, thank you so much for being here. This is a delight.
Yeah, it was so great to be here, Adam. Thanks for having me on to talk one question.
Yeah, we had one question. It took us on the whole journey.
Then we just talked about everything.
I appreciate you and your friendship.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you too.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.